I invite you to remain standing for a sermon and gospel lesson this morning from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17 through 27 and then skipping to verses 38 through 53. You can follow along on the insert, and I read in Jesus' name. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again at the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And skipping to verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor. He has been in the tomb for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen stripes and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had been with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one should die for the nation, but not the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have to ask you, how hard was it for you just a few minutes ago to confess that you believe in the resurrection of the dead? How many of you even remember that that was part of what you confessed? Some of you have buried important people in your life. Some of you have buried grandparents and parents. Some of you have buried brothers and sisters. Some of you have buried spouses, and some of you have even buried children. There's a place not too far from here, just a few blocks west of us, called Resurrection Cemetery. That's my favorite name for a cemetery, by the way. At Resurrection Cemetery, if you drive by, you will see tombstones marking the places where the dead have been laid. And as you drive by, it looks like a trophy case for death. Maybe it's not been at Resurrection Cemetery, but how many times have you been gathered together around a hole in the ground where a coffin is slowly lowered, carrying the corpse of someone that you knew and loved? How often in those moments has death deceived you into thinking that he has the last word? How many times in those moments is it hard for you to confess that you do believe in the resurrection of the dead. That is precisely where Martha and Mary were. Their brother Lazarus had gotten sick, and so they called for Jesus to come and help. He was a long way off, but Jesus didn't come right away. He didn't come soon enough. He didn't come quickly enough. And by the time he finally gets there, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. Little did Martha and Mary know, though, that Jesus had waited for Lazarus to die. Little did Martha and Mary know that Jesus had waited for their beloved brother to be taken by death, and that death would smile and wave at them morbidly, bringing them to their despair. 3 times in this chapter of John 11, first Martha, then Mary, then the whole crowd, they all confess something to be true. They say, "If Jesus, you had only been here, Lazarus would not have died. You opened the eyes of a blind man. You could have stopped this from happening. You could have stopped this sorrow and this grief." And again, that's very true. But it's not helpful at this point. But Martha still holds out a little hope. She says to Jesus, "Even now, Jesus, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you." And Jesus' response, it's very terse, but it's got some comfort in it. He says, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha knows this. This was a Sunday school lesson that she'd been hearing for years. She says, "I know that Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Martha is right, but she isn't right enough. Standing there before Martha, in the flesh and blood of a man, is the resurrection. The resurrection isn't so much of an event as it is the person of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." You see, the resurrection isn't something waiting to happen, to suddenly spring upon us some 2,000 years after Christ rose. The resurrection isn't some event that'll happen a week from some Tuesday. The resurrection is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, throughout the Gospels, as Jesus goes around, he doesn't meet a single corpse that he doesn't raise up right on the spot. And that's not because Jesus does some hokey-pokey magic on them. Jesus simply has that effect on the dead. Jesus, standing there before Martha, is there with all of God's gifts. You see, too often we separate Jesus and God from the gifts of God. We think that here's Jesus, the person, and that he pulls out of some magic sack salvation and forgiveness and life. But it's Jesus himself who is salvation and forgiveness and life. And Jesus says as much when he says to Martha, "I am the resurrection." It was true then, it is true now, and it is true always. Don't miss what Jesus says in verse 26 of this text. Don't miss it. Jesus says in verse 26, "Everyone who lives and believes in me," that's present tense, he says, "that one shall never die." I haven't studied a lot of languages, but this is the strongest language possible to deny the potentiality and the possibility of something happening. Jesus says, the one who lives and believes in Him, it's not even potential, it's not even possible for Him to die. Don't ask me to explain it. But Jesus asks you to believe it. Colossians 3:1 says that since we have been raised with Christ, and you, brother and sister, you have been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Stop separating God from His gifts. Stop separating God and Jesus from forgiveness and life and salvation. Jesus is here standing before us once again because we are gathered here around His Word. He is present now. Because His Word is present, Jesus is here. And Jesus says, hear His Word come specifically to your mouth. And so Jesus says, here is forgiveness. Here is salvation. And here is life. Because He who died on the cross has risen again. And He stands here today before you, standing in victory on the neck of death. And no harm can come to you. So you who are dead, the invitation of your Lord and Savior is to come and to receive His body and to drink His blood so that you may never die. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.